Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome back to the Prep to Pro NBA Draft Podcast. My name is Ben Pfeiffer, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host Max Carlin. Max, how's it going?
I'm doing all right, Ben. How are you?
Doing well. Excited to dive right back into our discussion of, you know, just different prospects that we've been talking about and then watching for the 2021 draft. So let's get into it.
The wait is finally over. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, that's the last of our off-ball scorers. You want to talk about Scotty Barnes a little bit with me?
Yeah, let's do it.
So I watched the Indiana marathon game. I do think to some extent the Scotty thing would maybe work as like a legit creator if he had awesome touch. Unfortunately, he has terrible touch.
But yeah, like there are
moments where he like, you know, he breaks out like a dream shake, or like if he can run tightly off of an off-ball screen, get the ball going downhill, and then, you know, he can pass fake like he did. I think it was like the first possession of that Indiana game. He can pass fake to the corner, help defense recovers, and then he's just like has some of the most functional length ever, and he's just is reaching up and putting the ball in the basket without getting an inch off the ground because he cannot jump. And by cannot jump, I don't mean he is like limited vertical. He just doesn't go up in the air. He like goes sideways. It makes no sense. But he has the length to compensate for that. So I think that like he can get to these touch shots where he just kind of reaches over guys, where he's matched up with smaller players, where he can work in the post and with footwork. But he has terrible touch, and so it just doesn't work. I don't know where I'm going to end up with Scotty. The defense has underwhelmed pretty badly so far. I think they're like he's in a weird role where he's like defending the point of attack and switching everything. But there have been some very bad switches.
Yeah, it's a really weird eval because like he's like weaving on the perimeter of the switches and then is inconsistent with his interior. I think I know what you're talking about, like a couple plays where he'll like give up a pretty easy lane for a roller on like a late switch. I think it's probably at this point just like a communication thing and like a scheme thing just because it is so weird.
They're just poorly executed switches.
He's
been weird. He's a weird player. I'm not sure the whole thing makes sense. Like I think the vision of it crystallizes when he does like run tightly off of an off-ball screen and he's going downhill, or when he's in transition and can throw these perfect hit-aheads with unbelievable touch and just precise location. But as is, it's just like, how on earth does this guy score?
Yeah, I don't foresee myself doing much moving with Scotty Barnes, maybe down. I mean, it's important to consider that like this is so far from his optimal role. Like as we talked about plenty on this podcast, you know, he's most optimal in like a connecting four man. Basically what he did at Montverde with Cade Cunningham, where he can short roll and pass a little bit out of the post. and, you know, maybe attack closeouts and such. I mean, the shot's obviously a big question for him. I do enjoy that he's been willing to shoot and has taken some audacious shots.
he's been more willing than I expected.
Yeah, like some shots from like quite far out that, you know, I wouldn't have expected him to be willing to take, or, you know, Leonard Hamilton, you know, Florida to allow him to take. But like, it's been, that's been encouraging, but I'm still like worried about the shot, no doubt. I just think it's like, I'm not going to get too low on Scottie's offense or defense, no matter what happens this season. Just because, you know, we know this role is so inoptimal for him. There's only so much that can be gleaned from him being totally overextended as a creator. We've known that Scottie can't score on the ball. Like, none of that is.
But
changing.
I don't know if he can score in any setting whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the concern at all. I mean, and that's why like both of us had him as like a late lotto guy, instead of like,
yeah,
you know, higher than that.
But go ahead.
I mean, like the special passing isn't going anywhere, even if it's less evident. With Florida State, I think the off-ball defense probably isn't going anywhere either, even if this weird role is, I mean, if anything, like the weird role has showcased how, you know, how unique of a mover and how great his ground coverage is in spurts as well on the bright side. Like, yeah, it's weird and you don't really want him like switching 1 through 5 and like guarding 94 feet. Like, that's not what you want from Scottie Barnes, but like,
yeah, and he's
I do think it showcases like the breadth of his defensive ability, that like it's not a disaster. Like, he's a 6'9 dude who is like capable in this role. Like, it's not ideal, and like you said, there have been plenty of kinks, and it's not the defensive wonder kid Scottie Barnes of old, but like, it's not bad. Like, it kind of works.
Yeah, I'm maybe lower on the degree to which it works. But it's not an unmitigated disaster, which I think is a testament to, yeah, his movement ability. And you're still seeing the, you know, he's moving the defense with his eyes and throwing, you know, beautiful no looks and skipping, you know, skipping the ball over the defense, and really just, you know, incredible passer, one of a kind at that size. But yeah, I'm just trying to be careful with these guys who can't score at all, because it's just not viable in the NBA. And I mean, it hasn't been that viable in college, really. Like, he just cannot score at all.
No, his offense has been bad in college. I mean, yeah, his scoring has been bad in college.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens the rest of the season. I still like, yeah, I have the idea of what that role is in the NBA, but I'm not sure it's even that realistic. Like, if he could just jump kind of like a normal person, I would maybe buy it. Or if
he had an average touch.
Yeah, or if he had average touch, I could buy that it could work. But his touch is just so bad. He's an interesting player and a weird player. And just like, I'm glad that he exists as like an experiment in basketball. But I'm not sure to what degree it works as a prospect. Now to someone who definitely... Or should we do the Springer? Springer debate or shooters?
Let's end with Springer.
Okay. All right. Elite shooters. Corey Kispert. Oh my God. Like, yeah. What an unbelievable shooting prospect this guy is. The range that he's now shooting from, the just utter audacity of his shots, and that he's always been a guy with underrated ancillary skills while also getting quicker this year, that he has more closeout attacking ability. I mean, that he has like more like running pick and roll ability, which again, he's not really going to be doing. But like, he has gotten by some guys, and then laterally he looks better. And he's always been a guy that I think has just been underrated as a defender. Like, while he is slow, he's very large and fairly intelligent. He's a really good prospect. I think I've already got him as a top 20 guy. I think he's a better prospect than any of the shooters last year. He's better than Bane. He's for sure better than Neesmith.
I mean, he's really leveled up as a shooter this year. Yeah, and that's not really something bad. I mean, I've always been like a Kispert skeptic, because he was always like a good shooter, but never like this level of shooter. Like, just a, you know, like he's always been like a super high volume shooter. Always around 9 threes per 100. He's like he's up that to 12.3 threes per 100 this year. 52%. I mean, that's like Neesmith stuff if Neesmith could shoot off the dribble and dribble,
but the
pass.
Thing is, when Neesmith did that, it was against
The bad teams.
It was against like Appalachian State or something like that.
Yeah, it was like Richmond, Liberty, and then there was Auburn, but like.
Yeah, for the one game.
Yeah, which he was good, to be fair.
But, I mean, Kispert has done this against Iowa, Virginia, against Auburn,
Kansas.
Just this loaded non-conference schedule.
He's also shooting 87.5% at the rim, which is like obviously small sample, but like
he's been
blowing out of the water, and like his finishing craft, I think it looks tangibly better than it has in the past.
Yeah, and he's just such a terror in transition because he'll fire with momentum. He'll fire from so deep that he is a finisher. He's an improved finisher. That he has that size. Yeah, he is just a really sensational shooting prospect.
Also, assist to turnover ratio spiked from 1.5 last year to 3.2 this year.
And he was that
backing up the improvements he's made as a passer from someone who was always a pretty decent passer. Like,
yeah, he was a solid passer, just couldn't dribble at all. And was so slow. He already has
5 dunks this year after only having 7 the last two seasons. Like on the stat sheet, like on the film, like all of the improvements are like so unexpected and like really real.
I thought coming into the year that he could work his way into being like a fringe first type guy.
Yeah, on our first 2021 episode, that was your like hot take.
My hot take, yeah, that he was going to be like that he was going to go in the first round, that he'd be kind of a fringe first for me.
I don't think you expected this.
No, I didn't. But that was like, you know, not expecting him to get massively better by any means. That was kind of, you know, just minor improvements. And he seems to have gotten significantly better, leveled up as a shooter, like you said. The movement is a lot better on both ends. Yeah, he's a really, really good prospect. I like, and with just how weak that mid-lottery to teens range is, like, I don't think you could take Kispert too high. He's not going to go top 10. So, you know, after that, I don't know that there's going to be a too high for Corey Kispert. Because it's a weak draft, and he's an absolutely sensational shooter as like a 3-4 with solid ancillary skills. He's really good. He is one of the best players in college basketball, and an absolute joy to watch. That explosion the other day against Virginia was unbelievable. It was like one of the most remarkable shooting performances. He's a really good prospect.
Kispert's awesome. I mean, again, outside of like the lottery, even like, yeah, like, you can't take him too high. I mean, it's like quietly like quite a good shooting. Like, there's quite a few great, like, pretty high level shooters between like him and Zaire and Bones, even like
Moody.
Like, it's, I don't know, it's becoming a fun shooting class like pretty quickly,
which is funny because we thought no
we
one
thought it was bad. Shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, as like, and even like guys who like aren't like that elite shooters, but like are very good shooters exist as well. Like, it's fun. It's really fun.
All right, should we talk Springer?
Yeah. Let's talk about Jaden Springer. Who I have a lot of thoughts on. As you probably know, if you haven't been living under a rock, I'm just gonna talk about Jaden Springer in his self, who I think is kind of been under discussed. As like one of like the real top prospects in this class, which is funny because I was like, generally like not this in on Springer, but a lot of this for me is like other guys disappointing, like this other guys moving down. The thing about Springer that's really impressed me is like I am fairly like I have like a good amount of confidence in him as a real like on-ball creator. Like his on-ball creation stuff to me has looked really impressive, and while he isn't like the burstiest player in the world, everything else is so good for him. He's incredibly strong, always has been. I was unsure about just how strong he was, as that was a concern I'd expressed before the draft. I no longer am as concerned about that. I think despite like the ball control and his handle being good, like his, you know, ability to be deceptive and change directions and work with angles with his handle and, you know, like I said, change directions sharply is really impressive. Combine that with his strength, his footwork is immaculate. I mean, he is like a point of attack footwork god on defense. And that beautifully translates to the offensive end, where he can split defenders and do spin moves without losing any momentum. And he loves his hop step, where he is really explosive off of two, but he uses that hop step to leverage his strength and balance and to be patient and wait for a decision to open up if he's going to shoot while waiting for defenders to fly by him or hit an interior pass. And again, adding on to that, his interior passing has looked really good, which meshes really well with his slashing game, to where he is able to draw defenders with his strength and his slashing and make some pretty like impressive and ambitious interior passes, putting guys in jail, passing over and around defenders into really tight windows. That's all been super impressive to me. I think the big question with him, I mean, the big question is the shot for me with him, and is where, like, if the shot is worse than I think it is, then I'm very much willing to go back on the take that everybody knows about. You know, if the shot really is disappointing, then, which I mean, the touch story has been good, and I've always been kind of a fan of his, you know, longish mid-range creation, which is why I've had hope. But he's not, like, the mechanics aren't perfect. And the three-point rate this year has been a little disappointing to me. But I do think there's hope there. Obviously, he's an awesome defensive prospect. You know, the point of attack defense has been lauded to death. And then off-ball, he's very sound as well. And then he's, like, still the youngest American player in the draft, and, like, that matters a ton. This is, like, more broad overview of Springer. Max will get into questions and prodding at my Springer takes. But, like, he is high school senior aged, and not playing in the greatest offensive context in the world. And I think that matters a lot given how much success he's had as an on-ball creator. Again, like, the competition hasn't been the greatest, but he's played some okay teams. And again, if this, like, can't hold up against SEC teams, then I'm much open to lowering him. But at this point, with, like, some real creation equity, I'm tentatively, like, very in on Jaden Springer at this point.
The wait is finally over. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantages of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Support for the Prep to Pro NBA Draft podcast is also presented by Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, offering precision-engineered tools for your family jewels and helping 2 million men all over the world get rid of hair on their balls. Manscaped is here to give you a fresh start in 2021 with their Perfect Package 3.0 that has all the right tools for the job. Come out of quarantine with clean balls thanks to the Lawnmower 3.0. This waterproof and skin-safe trimmer will reduce nicks to your two best friends. The third-generation trimmer even has a light to give you the glow-up you need in 2021. It's also time to freshen up down there this new year. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And for on-the-go freshness, you'll love the Crop Reviver Ball Toner Spray. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ARMCHAIR. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds and make Santa proud.
Okay. I want to say off the top that I think that the Springer is greater than Suggs take is kind of deranged. it's getting, I think, a little too caught up in some probably low probability on ball creation, as opposed to just, like, missing the fact that, well, Suggs, yeah, like, he's not the platonic ideal of a point guard in that he's in today's game, that he's not going to be running pick and roll every time down the floor. It's just that he's so much better at basketball. That I think that that's kind of where this starts and ends for me. However, like, before we started recording, I asked you if the explanation was just, like, buying that there's much more of a traditional on-ball role with Springer there, which does make sense to me on account of the fact that, like, Springer is uniquely capable of getting to his spots because he's so strong and the handle has really developed. That I think that used to not be very good. And the handle's really developed to be a thing that he, I mean, he's breaking out.
Yeah, and like I said, like, the ball control is still an issue, but I think, like, that's easier to tighten. Like, and he has, like, the athletic tools in terms of change of direction and agility and deception to change, like you were saying, like, with his handle.
Yes, I mean, just his change of direction, that he has some deception with that handle, crazy balance, crazy footwork, and just being so ridiculously strong that he can... It really does feel like he can maneuver wherever he wants on the court. And that once he gets there, once he gets to his spots, that he does have this really fun, like, throwback power guard game where he just drops a shoulder into a guy and then rises up over them for, like, a 9-footer. It's a weird style, but it works very well. As a driver that you know, he gets you on his hip, drops his shoulder into you, you're thrown a bit off balance, and he hits you with a spin move, and he's at the rim finishing. I think the passing has looked better than I expected as well. That he's had some really nice drop-offs in there. The shot, I think that maybe in the short term, it's definitely more the working to spots, like it for these like paint jumpers, kind of like Fultz, like honestly. And then, you know, it comes along from three. I'm not that worried about the shot, but, you know, as opposed to Suggs, where he looks like
a high-level. Yeah, and that's what I was talking about. I mean, really, like, well, Suggs is like a dynamite shooter, obviously. Like, he's incredible.
Yeah. I do understand where you're coming from with this, that, like, there is, I think, if you were to tell me that one of these two guys would become, like, a really just kind of overwhelming on-ball scorer, that I would probably guess that it's Springer, just because the Suggs, I think, like, length limitations and still the ball control issues that are there, and I think some burst issues. I don't think that there's really that level of ridiculous on-ball scoring upside with Suggs, but he's just such a better basketball player.
No doubt. And I mean, like, a couple more points, like clarifying points. I'm still like very in on Suggs. Like I haven't ranked, but like these would probably be my 3-4 in the same tier. So like they really like they really could go either way for me. And like I certainly understand like being way more in on Suggs, because like Suggs is stellar at basketball and clearly an incredible shooter and like a genius defender. But also like very worth noting to me is that Springer is 15 months younger than Jalen Suggs and playing in like an offensive context that is a lot less optimizing for him. Like he is like Tennessee's an incredible college basketball team, but they don't exactly run a modern offense. And Gonzaga is brilliant. Like Mark Few's system is masterful. It's genius stuff. Obviously, like if you swapped them, you know, like Springer, like wouldn't necessarily like because they're different players and require different things to succeed. But that the age point to me, like Suggs is yes, like a lot better at basketball right now. But like Springer's very good at basketball on his own, right?
Sure, but I think Suggs, you're talking about a guy who's just really operating at a different level of understanding. It seems he's proven that the understanding of pace and angles and how to manipulate windows is truly absurdly outlier. Just kind of one of
I think that's fair.
That's kind of where I'm at there. You know, I was very much with you on like pump the brakes. The Kansas game was unbelievable. But you know, Auburn was just like strictly in transition, but we've now gotten a couple more of these games from Suggs, to the point where I think I feel pretty comfortable with him as the number three guy. I still have him a ways off from the top two.
Yeah. We're happily together being irresponsible about Evan Mobley. Mobley is so good. And Suggs nor Springer is in the same tier for me as Mobley. But I mean, after Mobley and Cade, like I'm very open to Suggs at three, and I very well may end up with Suggs there as well. Like this is a point I want to, like Suggs is very good. Like I'm not discrediting anything he's done as well, but like it's more just being that in on Springer. Like at this point for me,
which I think is fair. Like I just watched the Cincinnati game, and that was an unbelievable performance.
He was
like,
so good against Cincinnati.
It certainly was not Suggs against Kansas or Suggs against Iowa, or there was one other ridiculous Suggs game. It certainly was not to that level, but it was an incredible all around game. Like really unbelievable, and I don't think that anyone in this class gets to his spots the way that Springer did in that game. And he was a revelation on defense. Like he was unbelievable. He beat every single guy to his spot.
Not even talking about Springer like defensively. Like he's obviously a ridiculous defender. Like that's a given. Like
I mean Springer was absolutely unreal. Like beat every guy to his spot, has the strength once there to just completely shut them down. And then off the ball, like had multiple awesome rotations, multiple awesome digs for steals. Like he was sensational and has always been a sensational guard defender. But honestly, this was kind of, I think, above my expectations of him as an off ball guy. That was a really impressive performance. And I think that's probably by far the best competition that they've played so far. So I am, I think, very open to the idea of being insanely in on Springer. I think that to me, Suggs is definitely separated from him right now. But I do get the vision with Springer. I think he offers something in this class that not a lot of other guys do in terms of really, like, consistently, I think, being able to get where he wants on the court, get the shots that he wants. And I do think that he can make them enough to be an interesting on-ball player. It's just with Suggs, like you're talking about just a different, like, it's different lens you have to view him through, because I just think that he's at such a different level as a basketball intellect.
Yeah, and that's all fair. And it's a long season, and I'm open to being, you know, correcting myself. But
we can disagree on things.
Like, oh yeah, yeah, of course. And I'm, you know, still gonna hold firm. You know, like a Springer Suggs 3-4. It's still good, and they're still close, and they're still in the same tier. But I'm still holding strong to my Springer take. Very excited for SEC play to open. I think this week. I think they play. They play at Missouri on Wednesday. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, I think with like the top of this draft, the question to me is not who, like 1, 2, and 3, especially are going to be. It's how many one man tiers are at the top.
Which there's tier. At least two to me. Like.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like, which tier is a one-man tier? Mobley's really good. Mobley's really, really
good. He's so good. I mean, we'll do a whole thing on Mobley soon, I'm sure, but, like, he's unbelievable.
I mean, PD, like, when we were talking about Mobley, because I went back and watched a few more Rancho games before the start of the season and was like, all right, I think we might have overreacted a little bit. This guy is you know, this kind of special that I think we'd always thought he was. And PD said that he thought that Mobley was just a, you know, like an amorphous blob tier over the top couple of tiers, and he wouldn't really argue with anyone having Mobley anywhere. And that's kind of how I feel now. It's like I don't know. I don't know that there's too high on Mobley. He's like we haven't seen him tested to the extent that you would want, I don't think, in terms of physicality, but
I don't really think he is that. I think though, I mean,
he is what
fit, like the physicality is there for him. I mean,
yeah, he's insanely physical, but again, like, I mean, BJ Boston's insanely physical. How much does it matter if you're really skinny? Mobley has the counter of being 7 feet tall with a 7'5" wingspan
and ridiculous touch and ludicrous skill and intelligence and mobility. Yeah,
Mobley is being defended by centers, and he drops his shoulder to you and then just like spins and he's shooting right over you, or, you know, he's freaking breaking you down off the dribble because he's an alien. I'm very passionate about Evan Mobley.
Mobley is so much fun. He's like quickly became like my favorite player in this class. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, he's, I want to watch every minute he plays.
I mean, I have, and I will. Like, and I continue, and I will continue to. Like, it's so much fun. Like, he is so joyous. Despite playing, playing with Isaiah, even still, like, has its moments. Like,
oh yeah, the chemistry is there. Yeah. I mean, Isaiah has his issues, but yeah, just the quantity of not just, you know, the highlight plays of Mobley being a wild rim protector, whether that's, you know, in a zone for some reason, which he does amazingly, even though, like, I don't know why you'd put a guy with that mobility in a zone, but whether it's, you know, as a help side rim protector, working in a zone, hedging ball screens, he looks unbelievable. Like, he's a really special prospect. And we should stop talking about him before you're responsible.
All right, let's move on to our catching eye segment, which shouldn't take too long.
All right. My first guy was Joe Wieskamp.
Yeah,
always been a guy that, like, I've liked but have never been able to make up my mind on because he's very inconsistent. I forget which game I watched recently, but just, like, appreciate that he's a very skilled off-ball player, that, like, he really is good with setting up screens off the ball, with reading screens off the ball. You know, not a a sprint into shots contort in the air guy, which stinks, and which is why, you know, he's not a first round prospect or a, you know, really high level prospect, but he is a guy who can get himself open off the ball and then, you know, shoot off screen shots. He just does need to square up before. Yeah, I think that's like mostly my point, an appreciation of Wieskamp as a skilled off ball player. And yeah, I'm curious to see if he can maintain some more consistency in his junior year, because if he does, I think I would feel pretty confident in him as like an early second type guy.
Yeah, I've always been relatively in on Wieskamp. I do think that he's mostly the same player he's always been, which is a little disappointing. He hasn't really had like a stark jump in like skill, I think. I mean, he's a really good, I think he's a pretty good handler for his role, pretty good passer for his role, like ridiculously slow, which is, I mean, his issue, like as an off-ball scorer. But like, he's a great shooter and he's a versatile shooter and he can dribble and pass a little bit. And, you know, he's has the same issue of being slow on the defensive end, but he's pretty smart and I think tries. And this is like a well-sized wing with a lot of skill, is like, he's going to be worth like a late second or early second, late first to me, like whenever he comes out, I think. So, yeah, I mean, I'll still be relatively on Wieskamp. Like, I've always been a fan of his.
My one qualm with him as a shooter, I mean, beyond the inconsistency, is that he is very hesitant for a guy who is a really good shooter. There are just way too many shots that he turns down. There's some weird, you know, mentality stuff there, I think, just because of the inconsistency and some unwillingness to assert himself. But he's a good player nonetheless.
Yeah.
I guess I can do my second guy. This was just like kind of funny. Adama Sanogo, I think is his name, on UConn. I don't think that he's like really considered much of a prospect. He was, I think, a pretty big RSCI guy. But there were just some very funny moments in that Book Night 40 piece of just hilariously slow processing. He's like a 0.5 assist to turnover guy. It was just amusing. Nothing more there. Really catching eye roots. This was a funny thing I saw.
Yeah. A couple guys for me, short ones in like a similar mold. The first one is Terrence Shannon, Texas Tech, who is an awesome wing prospect with a disastrous shot, which is the case with like all of the Texas Tech wings. Shannon has been much more willing as a shooter this year, which is really nice. I think he shot six threes against Kansas, which was like a quarter of his attempts last year. He has upped his three-point attempt rate a decent bit, but it, like, the mechanics are still atrocious. Like, he'll have shots where like both of his toes will point inward, and the valgus is like Josh Green levels.
I was about to say the Josh Green.
It's like it's really bad, and like because of that, like I don't really have much faith unless that fixes. Like the mechanical issues are like really stark. Always been a good free throw shooter though, and like again, like interesting strength based slashing, some secondary playmaking. The defense has always been good. Like really, really nice defense creator at the point of attack with his length and lateral quickness. And instincts. The off-ball defense is good, you know, in the Chris Beard scheme. But yeah, I mean, someone at this point, like I'd probably be comfortable with in like the mid to late second, but like just needs to shoot, and I'm not sure he will. But a very fun player nonetheless.
Yeah, I have not watched Texas Tech this year, but I liked Terrence Shannon last year. Terrence Shannon, also known as the best prospect from the 2019-20. Texas Tech Red Raiders.
yes he is.
I mean, like, for sure. I'm excited to see him this year. I think with him though, like, long track record of dissonance right between the free throw percentage and three-point percentage,
and like the mechanics are different. I think I think Pete talked about like him changing his shot, like the mechanics are just way different, and yeah, and that track record's definitely there.
Yeah, so I don't know how much I'm buying free throw rate or free throw percentage as an indicator for him, just given that there's a long standing dissonance there. He'd be fun if he could really shoot. But.
Yeah, he would. For my last one, I would like to appreciate Tavion Kinsey of Marshall, just the most ridiculous athlete, known for like as a freshman being like the 6'5" guy to hit 55 dunks. And is on pace to crush that at this point. Like his vertical explosiveness and balance, and similar to Book Knight, but like on steroids, like ability to just levitate and contort around defenders in the air is masterful. Has improved, I think, marginally over the years as like an on-ball player, as a playmaker. Still has a ways to go as a shooter. I think just by way of the athleticism and some of the defensive flashes, probably like worth like a late second flyer. Don't really have like a sophisticated Kinsey take at this point, but just always been a guy who I've really been a huge fan of personally, because he's just such an unbelievable athlete with some solid skill. Just hoping to see more perimeter development, more shooting from him. But someone who's always fun to watch at Marshall. He's really, really good.
Yeah, if you look at the dunk leaderboards, it's 7-footers. Like, it's Kofi, it's Zach Edey, and it's Tavion Kinsey. 21 dunks this year. Yeah.
19 dunks on pace for like, I think about 70, which is absurd as a 6'5 dude.
How many did Obi have last year?
Obi had over 100, right?
Did he? Did he and Doak crack 100?
I'm almost sure they both cracked 100. I mean,
let's see if I can get this quickly. Yes, they did. Obi had 107. Doak had 103.
Yeah. Shamar, just like in his 55 dunk freshman year, Kinsey was at about like a 1.5 dunk a game pace. Now he's at like a over 2.5 dunk a game pace. Like, it's like the Kinsey dunk watch is like one of my favorite little things that we're gonna keep tracking. Like, he truly just like dunks everything, like on the ball, like full court lobs. Like, it's truly absurd. Like, it's if you haven't seen Tavion Kinsey, like, which many of you may not have because he plays at Marshall, like, Just go find highlights. Like, it's awesome.
I think that does it.
Yeah. Good episode there. After a little hiatus, we are Prepped Pro is back. So yeah, with that, I think we're just gonna outro like normal. You can make sure to follow me on Twitter at Ben_Pfeiffer_. Follow Max at MaxAcarlin. Follow the pod at Prep Number 2 Pro Pod on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you all next time.